baby back door, baby fall off, sipping codeine cause I got a killer call. Let me sit sideways in the big bins. Oh, you boys, they my brothers, they my friends.
There's not one guy, one person in the history of this program that's bigger than the program.
Mayfield on play action.
You're listening to Brandon Drum and Parker Thune. This is the OU Insider Under the Visor podcast.
Welcome to another OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners podcast powered by Riverwind Casino. My name is Brandon Drum. I'm here with Parker Thune. And there is a lot to talk about. Spring football. Lots of recruiting, and we're going to cover all that right here for you guys. I mean, there's two scrimmages this week. Saturday was like a partial scrimmage, but Thursday was a full-blown live scrimmage. We'll give you some of the goods that we've got, and we're going to talk quarterback recruiting. Obviously, Bo Bentley set up his official visit. Jaden O'Neal already has his official visit set up. Discuss that. Discuss a few other recruiting nuggets that we've gotten over the last few days. But first, we're going to obviously thank our sponsors.
Yes, indeed. Thank you first and foremost to Riverwind Casino, the Metro's premier gaming destination. Obviously, almost 3,000 electronic games, table games, bars and dining options, plus, of course, the best live music in the Metro. It's no surprise that Riverwind is always a good time. Again, the OKC Metro's premier gaming destination now for almost two decades. Also, a shout out to Jana King. Jana King is the greatest team to ever clean and a proud partner of OU Athletics, delivering spotless results from stadiums to any size business across the country. You can check them out at janaking.com for unbeatable commercial cleaning services. Again, janaking.com. Hey, also, folks, if you're watching on the YouTube side right now, see this hat? See this Bird Dogs hat? You can get this hat for free when you order from Bird Dogs using our promo code OUINSIDER at birddogs.com. Again, this hat right here, completely free when you use code OUINSIDER at birddogs.com. Support our show. Let them know we sent you. If you're not familiar with Bird Dogs, they are revolutionizing the apparel industry, particularly when it comes to shorts. I own three pairs of Bird Dog shorts. They are fantastic, classy enough that you can wear them out golfing or to business casual type gatherings. But they're also comfortable enough and versatile enough that you can wear them to the gym. You can wear them out in the yard. You can wear them pretty much everywhere. Bird Dogs is for every occasion. Look a lot nicer than most athleisure apparel. And of course, look good, feel good. Those shorts, they make you look good. And they're going to make your legs look sculpted, incredibly comfortable as well. Comfort, fit, versatility, Bird Dogs has it all. Also want to give a quick shout to Brunt Workwear. Now, if you have not yet become acquainted with Brunt's line of premier elite workwear, starting, of course, with the Marine work boots, which are built for the toughest job sites. Completely waterproof, whether it's rain, mud, or standing water, your feet stay dry. You're going to want to tap in with Brunt. Check out the Marine work boots as well as their entire lineup of workwear, because it's not just about work boots. They offer a full range of high-performance gear built for tough jobs. From heavy-duty work pants to weather-resistant jackets, Brunt designs durable, reliable workwear to keep you protected and productive in any condition. Again, they didn't just make a durable work boot. They reinvented comfort for the hardest workers out there. And we have some of the hardest workers out there that listen to this podcast every single week. So for a limited time, you can get $10 off at Brunt by using code OUINSIDER at checkout. Just head to brunt.com/OUINSIDER and use code OUINSIDER and you're all set. Even better, Brunt lets you try all their products on the job risk-free. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show. Tell them we sent you. Okay, Brandon, Oklahoma is past the halfway point now, spring practices. It feels like they're way past the halfway point. That isn't entirely true because you did have a week of spring break. But obviously, first day of spring practice was March 6th, so we're a lot closer to the last day, the day of the Crimson Combine, April 12th, than we are to the beginning. But just past the halfway point, we're really starting to get a feel for what's real and what's not. And of course, we won't have a firm handle on that until the season rolls around. But certainly some interesting storylines emerging from the first, what, 9-10 practices of the spring for Oklahoma. And I think most notably, as we've discussed on OUinsider.com as well, this is not a new phenomenon. Man, two guys that really looked like they're poised to give Oklahoma something as true freshmen this year are Elijah Thomas at the wide receiver position and Cortland Guillory at the cornerback position. If you had to assess the amount of buzz that is on each of the 16 early enrollees from this 2025 class, the guys that are outpacing all the rest right now by a pretty substantial margin, I would say, are Elijah Thomas and Cortland Guillory.
Yeah, I guess. And you're talking skill position, not offensive line, right? Because I think
talking all around. Like, and we know
Foje and Fasusi.
We know how good those guys are. Yeah, right. I don't think anybody has the expectation that they're going to play a lot this fall. They might, like, you might see them make a cameo, kind of like Eddie Pierre-Louis last year, right? Where maybe you see him a little bit in non-con, you see him a little bit in garbage time, but obviously, Oklahoma's best laid plans, Bill Beedenbo's best laid plans, do not involve throwing a couple of true freshmen out there in SEC play.
Normally, no. Yeah, I think you and I both expected Elijah Thomas to do what he's doing. Like,
yes,
we talked about that before, and while he was being recruited, and when he's, you know, committed, and when he signed, we're like, this dude's going to play, and he's going to play a lot as a freshman. That wasn't hyperbole. That was literally, we've been watching this kid for 2-3 years and we knew what OU was going to get. So that one didn't shock me at all. Like that, every time I hear, oh, Elijah Thomas did this, oh, Elijah Thomas, I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. We knew that was going to happen. Cortland Guillory, on the other hand, we knew he was good, but damn, I didn't realize he was going to be working with the ones. And yes, some of that is by virtue of, you know,
attrition,
Eli Bowen being banged up, Gentry Williams playing but not getting the full, I guess, going full throttle just yet. Like, he is, but he's not. It's hard to describe how that's working out, and they're doing it on purpose. This is interesting. Like, Cortland Guillory, and every time you turn around and you ask about who's doing what or who's doing this or that, it's Cortland Guillory made an interception. Cortland Guillory had a bunch of pass breakups. Cortland Guillory made a bunch of TFLs, you know.
Cortland Guillory's locking dudes down. And again, man, like, we're talking about first team reps here. It's not like, oh, he's down there on the scout team tearing it up. No, Cortland Guillory thus far has seen a ton of first team action.
He's been a dog
on the practice field. And he's balling out. And, like, to me, the only question when he showed up, I think, you know, when we go back to the tail end of the recruitment process and that 2025 cycle, the narrative surrounding Tristan Haynes, and I think it's a fair one, was just because of where he was at physically, he probably was going to need a year, much like Davon Jordan and Jeremiah Newcomb when they came in, right? Probably going to need a year to get up to speed.
I think Jordan could have played last year, but he just they didn't need him.
And that's the case for Tristan Haynes, and that's fine. Right? You don't need to get on the field as a true freshman. That's why you have the redshirt year at your disposal. But the two guys from that cornerback group that we all kind of figured, okay, there's definitely a path for those guys to get on the field in year one, were Malik Hawkins and Cortland Guillory. And Malik's done some really nice things on the practice field, certainly. But Cortland, man, like, I would say him and Elijah Thomas are top five across this roster in terms of just unambiguously positive buzz coming from all directions.
Manny Choice is up there too a little bit. Yeah, but
Manny Choice, I think from everything I've heard, he's still a step behind Elijah Thomas, but he's getting acclimated. Obviously, he's physically ready at 6'4", 212 to make an impact in year one. It just comes down to You know, is he gonna be polished enough? And that's always what's stood out about Elijah Thomas, that wide receiver position, man. Everything he does is just so clean, so precise, so professional. There's no weakness in his game. But for Courtland Guillory, man, you know, you look at a guy like Malik Hawkins, who played really, really good ball at the varsity level for 4 years at the 5A level in Texas and the 6A level when he was at Allen. And physically, he shows up and you know for a fact he's ready for the challenge at hand at 6'1", 190, right? He already looks like he belongs. The only question with Courtland Guillory was, is he going to have enough meat on his bones to meet the physical demands of playing cornerback in the SEC? And to be fair, I think that the jury is still out on that. You'd like to see him pack on a few more pounds before the season starts. But what helped set him apart, and part of the reason I think he was so underrated coming out of high school, I think the whole industry was sleeping on Courtland Guillory just a little bit. And we had him ranked higher than anybody else at Rivals. Credit to our guys for that. But the rest of the industry, man, that they slept on Courtland Guillory, I think, because of those weight concerns, because of those frame concerns, because of the fact that at a legit 6 feet tall, he was only in the, you know, 165, 170 pound range. But man, he is so technical in the way that he plays the position. He's got savvy. He does not like, and yes, he is light. Yes, he needs to put more meat on his bones, but he plays a very physical brand of football. Mm-hmm. He's a 170-pound guy out there that plays like a 200-pound guy, and you can't tell him differently. And so the fact that he has shown up and immediately demonstrated the exact same prowess at the collegiate level that he showed at the high school level for Klein Oak High School down in the Houston area, man, I think Courtland Guillory can have an impact similar to the impact we saw last year from Eli Bowen. Now, Eli Bowen played some excellent, excellent ball. I do think where, and I'm talking potential here. I'm not predicting it.
Okay. Yeah. You better reel that one in a little
bit. Yeah. Again, like people are going to hear me talk about potential and they'll think I'm making predictions. I'm not, not at this point. But the reason I think Guillory certainly has the potential to even go beyond what Bowen did as a true freshman is because the one thing about Eli Bowen that is immutable that he can't really change is that he's short, right? He's 5'9". And it doesn't really inhibit him 90% of the time, but 10% of the time it certainly does. And, you know, that 10% is occasions like that night in Columbia, Missouri, where he's matched up on the outside with Theo Weiss. Drew Pine throws a perfect ball to the corner of the end zone, jump ball that's an inch too tall for Eli, but Theo can climb the ladder and go and get it.
Drew Pine throws a perfect ball.
I know.
Is just still to this day is not something that.
But Guillory, man, again, we're talking about a guy that's 6 feet tall here. He's got size for a cornerback. And so he doesn't have that natural aspect of limitation that just comes baked into the pie for Eli Bowen. And again, Eli does a really good job of, I guess, overcoming that as much so as he is able with very, very detailed and savvy play in all other aspects of playing the cornerback position. But Courtland, man, you know, at 6 feet tall, he's going to be physically capable of defending pretty much every single throw when matched up against even larger bodied SEC receivers, because not only does he have the ball skills, not only does he have the ability to stay right there in a receiver's pocket all the way down the field, but he's 6 feet tall with really, really long arms, and that's going to serve him well.
Yeah. I mean, he's a bit different. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Trent Wilson as well as one of the freshman standouts, just because he's done some really phenomenal things. Manny Choice, another guy that Look, Elijah Thomas, when you talk to people about Saturday, everybody's like, oh, Elijah Thomas did this, Elijah Thomas did that. But the one thing I kept hearing from multiple people was, but the play of the day was Manny Choice in the back of the end zone, just a superstar catch in the back of the end zone. What you expect out of a 6'4", 210, 215-pound wide receiver that is going to play and going to play a lot this year. But Trent Wilson at the defensive tackle position, you don't want Jaden Jackson to be you hate that he's hurt for the spring, right? Not having your freshman All-American out there, not having the guy that is looked upon as potentially as the anchor, right, as your defensive tackle anchor going into 2025. Having him injured, not full go, right? That's tough. But you're getting Marcus Strong and Trent Wilson a lot of reps that probably weren't going to get thrown their way had the defensive tackle room been fully healthy. And I think that pays off in the season, because I think you look at Trent Wilson, like when David Stone came in, Parker, he was 280 pounds when he first showed up, right? He's 313 now. He was around 300 last year when the season started, gained 15 pounds. Trent Wilson is 294 in March. He is going to surpass 300 pounds easy. This is very much like Jaden Jackson last year. Jaden Jackson was around 299, 298 when he showed up. And again, like Parker said, I'm not saying he's going to be Jaden Jackson. I'm saying that there's some relative similarities to what they've done. And both were ranked. Well, obviously, Trent Wilson was ranked higher than Jaden Jackson.
He was.
But they both have that thing about them where they want to be the best. They work endlessly to get to where they are. And there's a bit of underrated aspect about them, regardless of how high Trent Wilson was ranked. You talked to some people last year that thought maybe he should have been in the five-star ranking, like near it. And he went to that. We watched him at the five-star challenge against some of the best offensive linemen in the country in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And what did he do? He whooped their butt is what he did.
He is very light on his feet.
He is.
For being as mean. Big and as thick as
he's
he
mean.
Is. Yeah. Man, eventually, you know, he's going to be one of those 315-pound toadstools that just plants himself in the ground right there in the A-gap, and you can't move him an inch.
He has such long arms, but his stature only about 6'2", makes him perfect for that defensive tackle spot. So I like what he's doing. And look, we brought up David Stone. I'm going to call it, Parker.
Okay, call it. What are you calling?
I think he's all SEC by the end of the year.
Wow.
I'm not saying first team. I'm just saying like second, third team.
Okay.
I think he is. I think he's hitting his stride. And everybody I've talked to said very similar stuff, like this dude's light bulb went dink, very much akin to GK McCoy. That is exactly what several people that were around back then that are still, they may not be around the program per se inside the building, but they're around and they've been to numerous practices, said, you're seeing something very similar to GK McCoy, where he needed that freshman year to get right mentally, get right physically. It doesn't just come easy because you're a five-star. There were times, and I know we talk about, like Tuck Fex has talked about on our, and that's really his name on our message board, by the way, so just so y'all know, said that, you know, we talked about how hard a worker David Stone, he was on the field. But there were times last year that he wasn't doing what he needed to do in the weight room. There were times last year that he was looked upon as doing freshman things. And those things have changed. Everybody you talk to, like, doesn't matter who I talk to, say, he very much is like laser tunnel focused on being him now. And I think being technically sound, getting and doing what Coach Bates is asking him to do, what Schmitty asked him to do on a day in and day out basis and being focused. He has so much potential. He has the highest ceiling out of anybody in that room. Is that even debatable, Parker?
I think it's debatable, but I would say that probably the most popular answer would be yes, that answer.
He's got a chance to be special. So
here's what I want to know, though.
Okay.
So you're predicting David Stone is going to be on an all-SEC team.
Yeah, first, second. Maybe he makes honorable mention, but still, that's still impressive your sophomore year.
I guess my question would be, who gets lost in the shuffle there at defensive tackle? Because if you have even one guy that's on an all-SEC team in that group, I mean, think about it. You have Jaden Jackson, you have David Stone, you have Dominic Williams, you have Grayson Halton.
Well, you can have guys make multiple. Do they have to get lost in the shuffle? Can you have two guys make honorable mention and one guy make first team, and the other guy make third team? Like, that's possible. I mean, Clemson and Alabama have done it for years. Georgia's done it for years.
So just be clear, you think there's a world where all four of those guys are playing regularly and playing good ball?
Well, they rotate. We watched them last year rotate constantly. They want to keep them fresh. So yeah, I think you're going to see them play quite a bit. Look, they all do something really well that the other doesn't do. Like, G-Baby is the best pass-rushing defensive tackle on the team. He may be one of the best pass-rushing defensive tackle in all of college football, and I don't think that's hyperbole to say that at all. He proved that last year, right? Like, he was amazing. He even says, I have to get better at run-stopping. Well, the run stopper is Dominic Williams. He is a fantastic run stopper. He wants to be better at pass rushing, which he's been working on. They're each working on those things to be better at, right? Jaden Jackson, he's pretty balanced. Like, he is a really good run stopper, but he caused some problems in the passing game last year as well. David Stone is somebody I think that can be the best of the best. He has the potential to be that run stopper. But at the end of the day, he may end up being, before he leaves Oklahoma, he could be the best pass rushing defensive tackle that Oklahoma's seen in since Gerald McCoy. Like, that, I don't think that, or Jordan Phillips. I don't think that is hyperbole. I don't think that's overstating what he could be. I think that's what's been expected of him since he arrived. And I think he's starting to get and figure things out. And I think that's important for Oklahoma. Look, Mike Hawkins Sr. just tweeted out today, if you think last year's defense was really good, mm-hmm. wait till you see OU's defense this year. OU lost two defensive tackles, Parker. Without David Stone stepping up and being what I'm talking about, it cannot be better than last year or even the same. He has to be that person that everybody thought he was going to be, or he's not going to be what Hawkins Sr. is talking about. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know. I just feel like it has to be the way. And I think you look at the defensive end, Parker. Like, I think we continually hear good things about R. Mason Thomas. But Danny Okoye gets talked about over and over and over and over. And then you've got Marvin Jones Jr. And then this week, PJ Adebowale made how many plays in both scrimmages? Sounds like quite a bit. So, yeah.
Lest we forget, PJ Adebowale is a creature.
He's a creature.
And the only thing that has held that guy back to this point is nagging, annoying injuries that are not enough to just shut him down and tell him to go full throttle into rehab and get healthy, but that are enough to limit his potential on the football field. And so I think there's a lot of it. I guess I shouldn't be surprised by it, because naturally there are college football fans associated with every single fan base that want to write off a five-star if he hasn't become a dude.
After freshman year or year.
Yeah,
and
but
half, yeah.
PJ, as long as he is healthy, he's going to be that. Make no mistake. There are very few players in college football that are endowed with the sheer physical gifts that that dude has. And so as long as those ankles are right, and there's no reason to think they won't be come the 2025 season, he's going to make his presence felt.
Well, if you go back, there was a video I tweeted out of him, the circle drill where you got to, you know, dip, you got to bend and reach down and grab the sock, right? Like that's what they have, like a roll of sock, and you have to grab it while you're turning the corner like you would pass rushing. PJ did it flawlessly, effortlessly, something he struggled with a little bit when he first got to OU. So you can tell he's been working on that. He's another guy that, much like Jacob Sexton, has been working with yoga to get more flexible, to get better at what they needed to get better at. And I think the injuries caused that. Like, hey, look, you're having issues with your ankles because you need to be more flexible here. You know, Jacob Sexton, you're having issues with your knees because you need to be more flexible in your lower body, right? You need to be more nimble and, you know, whatever. You like the, like those little, the little car things, you know what I'm talking about? The, you know, I'm talking about the things that wave in the wind and they look like they're like waving all the time. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the air dancers. Is that what you're talking
about?
Yeah,
the air dancers. Sure. Whatever. Like you gotta, the I don't think you gotta be that nimble, but you gotta be nimble. Hey, look, offensive line. I just don't want to get people's hopes up. Like, that's why I'm so skittish.
Well, like, here's the thing. And the way, like, the so way it's been phrased to me by multiple people is I just really have no idea how good and or bad this offensive line is. Because the defensive line is so deep and so talented, Brandon.
But they've been holding their own this time. Like, that's the weird part. Like, there's
more so than they were last year, certainly.
I mean, you had people like, on Saturday that were saying that the offensive line maybe won the day. There were, I had like three different people tell me that. And then three others said, I don't think so. I think the defensive line won. And then I'm like, is that a good, that's got to be a good thing when they're like, you have different people with subjective opinions. Last year it was definitive, Parker. Offensive line sucked.
Yeah, it was rough last year. But like the word I've gotten has mostly been that the defensive line has been they've been a step ahead of the O-line this spring. And I think you would expect that, right? Like, you, again, if you run through the star power on that defensive line, quite frankly, there are a lot more stars on the defensive line than there are on the offensive line. And the guys, a lot of the guys, not all the guys, but a lot of the guys with star potential for Oklahoma, and a lot of it, are pretty brand new to the equation. First and second year guys. And so it's been my expectation that the defensive line is going to, on the whole, get the better of the offensive line throughout the spring. And it seems that that has held true up until this point. I will say, though, I am encouraged because, as you mentioned, and that's very much been a theme amongst the folks that I've talked to as well, is that the offensive line is holding their own. Mm-hmm. Like they're not just getting it handed to them. You know, they're holding their own against a very, very talented Oklahoma defensive line. And so
one of the better defensive lines in college football. Yes. To be honest, yeah.
So I think it's pretty clear that there's been some improvement there, which, again, you would expect and hope would be the case.
The only way to go is up, baby, from last year. Yeah, I still don't know. Like, that's why I don't want to get people's hopes up. Like, oh, they're saying the offense, like,
yeah, it's good. I don't think anybody with half a clue between now and September is going to try to sell you on Oklahoma's offensive line in 2025 being an immovable object necessarily. But once again, I think it is fair and reasonable to expect that you're going to hear some good things out of that unit and there's going to be improvement. And just because people like us are highlighting the reality of improvement from that line does not necessarily mean we're putting them in the Joe Moore Award conversation.
No.
Right.
I think first and foremost, you have to look at Jake Sexton and you have to go, okay, well, he is better because guess what? He spent the last 4 months getting flexible again in ways that those injuries ruined him. Like his freshman year and even some of his sophomore year, he was that dude before he got injured both those years, right? And last year at the end of the year, he got injured. It was unfortunate. But his main focus was to get flexible. The scouts told him, look, you've got to make some improvements with your flexibility because it's going to help your movement at the tackle position. And everything that we've heard is he's doing a really good job against some of the best defensive ends in college football. So, like, that's a good sign. Now, on the flip side of it, the issue you look at is depth. I think that is still a reigning question, is depth. Now, don't get it twisted. Right tackle is going to be good. Derek Simmons is going to be a good player. Like, he's a good player. They expect him to be good. He's played good. The guards have played well. They've gotten their butt kicked by the defensive tackles a couple of times. We're not glossing past that point. Like, they have. Stone, even yesterday, was told he whooped up on a few guards yesterday, just manhandled them a few times in one-on-ones. But at the same time, Fabici Weiwu and Eddie Pierre-Louis have done their own thing and played well against the defensive tackles. Here's the problem, though. If Troy Everett goes down, they are effed. They're trying to play Fabici Weiwu as backup center right now because they don't have anybody else because Josh Bates dipped out on him, who they thought was going to come back and help. He's gone. Or at least be a backup that was at least formidable that could go in and know the position. So now you got him, you got Josh Asosa, and then obviously you got Owen Hollenbeck, who is, yeah. I don't know what is going to happen. God forbid Troy ever gets injured this year, Parker. God forbid.
Yeah, you don't want that to happen. That feels like the guy that you can least afford to lose.
100%.
Again, when you look at that depth chart and you look at what does not exist behind him, yeah, don't really want to lose Troy Everett. Maybe Fabici Weiwu gets up to speed in a hurry at center. Maybe he eventually proves that he's better suited to center than guard. I don't know. Again, it's an experiment that is ongoing right now. But yeah, definitely don't want to see Troy Everett go down again.
No. Outside of that, I think Ryan Foje will be in the rotation a little bit. Heath Ozaida, when he comes back, he has a chance to start. Yeah. I don't know if he'll start, but I think he has a really good chance to start. So I think there are some good things there. Like, I think you're 7 or 8, you feel pretty good about, right? I think that's kind of the truth of the matter. I think, oh my gosh, Luke.
McClanko.
Yeah, I think he's been kind of a disappointment so far, but it's early. We'll see. They believe in Fasusi. I'm trying to think who the other and obviously you need Isaiah Autry Dent to come back healthy and be healthy, stay healthy. Because remember last year, they loved him.
That's a guy, yeah, I don't know if he's getting talked about enough, and I think part of that is natural because he is hurt right now, mm-hmm. and so he's not going through spring practice. But a healthy Isaiah Autry Dent can absolutely, I don't know if he can win a starting job in fall camp because there are some talented tackles on this roster that are more experienced than him, but he can absolutely put the heat on somebody for a starting job if he's healthy in fall camp.
He's got a chance to be pretty good. And then I think Logan Howland has a chance to be that guy. Like, they love Howland, and look, you feel good about the offensive tackle. You feel decent about guard depth. Way better than last year. And I think multiple sources told me this weekend, and they talked about Thursday, full scrimmage. Same thing. You know, there were times that you could tell the depth of the defensive line just wore out the offensive line. But as one source told me, the fact that so many of these guys got thrown into the fire last year when they weren't expected to, as bad as it sucked for OU last year in 2024, it has a chance to be a godsend in 25, 26, and 27 for Oklahoma moving forward. Because they got experience that they weren't expected to have. Young guys. Depth. So we'll put, it's got to play out on the field. I think Michigan is where we're going to know. How they play against Michigan, we'll know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, if they don't play well against Michigan, better watch out. It's going to be a long-ass year. It just is.
No lies detected.
It just is. Hey, before we move on to something else, recruiting, let's dive in, and I want to thank another sponsor, Refine U Med Spa. They have been named the, as I look for the stinking, my gosh, man, where did it go? I keep finding the banner here. Oh, here we go. They've been named number one in Oklahoma City as far as med spas go by 405 Magazine, now 6 years in a row. You can call and get a consultation for free at 405-849-5391, or you can go to refineuokc.com, because everybody wants to be healthy. And obviously achieving your healthy weight can be a challenge to do on your own, but you're not alone. The skilled team at Refine U Med Spa offers treatments that complement weight loss goals and long-term weight loss support, so you achieve a weight loss that supports good health and self-esteem. You can achieve your ideal look and feel with Refine U state-of-the-art practices that offers a diverse selection of aesthetic treatments, providing services that benefit every body shape and skin type. You want spots removed on your skin? Boom. You want Botox, lip filler for your wife or your girlfriend? This is the place to go. They're cheap. They do a lot of good things for, obviously, the women and even men. Like, as far as men going in, they want their abs. Like, we get that fat around our gut, right? That's where most men settle their fat. And they can help you with a lot of that stuff by doing a lot of their treatments that they have, that they are 100% state-of-the-art. They're non-invasive. They have doctors on site, and they help you diet. They do nutrition, everything that you want. Refine U Med Spa does it for you. Again, free consultation if you call right now at 405-849-5391 or refineuokc.com. They don't sell procedures. They sell results. All right. Let's talk recruiting, Parker. What do you
want
to do?
Let's do it. Bo Bentley has an OV on the calendar, and as of right now, Brandon, he's the only guy with an OV on the calendar for this specific weekend, the weekend of June 13th through the 15th. All of Oklahoma's official visitors to this point in the month of June had been directed to one of two weekends, the weekend of June 6th or the weekend of June 20th, which, of course, is the Champ U barbecue. It may very well be the case that Bo Bentley has an official visit weekend all to himself at Oklahoma.
I think they'll add some people to that. I think they have so many coming 6th through the 8th, and obviously, what is it, the 20th through the 22nd, that you get spread thin. I think you got to watch out when you do that, right? And he's one of the later official visits that have been set up. I think you'll start seeing more. If you don't, that's an interesting thing. That is really interesting. If he is going to be the only person on campus, which I just find, don't you think that's kind of odd that you would have just one person come in?
I mean, I don't know that I would say odd. The fact that it's a quarterback makes it a lot less, you know.
Like, no, I get that.
If it were any other position, you would look at that guy coming in on that weekend all alone. You'd think, wow, yeah. Going to be quite the unique OV experience with literally no peers.
Maybe
on the
he's
trip with him, but
camping before, I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, that what that would tell you is that, and there may be other guys that schedule OVs for that weekend. And I don't know how open Oklahoma is going to make it to other dudes that weekend of June 13th through the 15th, but that at the very least demonstrates that, okay, we're willing to accommodate Bo Bentley. Mm-hmm. We are willing to go outside of our perceived comfort zone as far as scheduling these OVs to make sure we get him in here and make sure we get the chance to show him some love as a staff. And obviously the news that accompanied his cemented official visit with Oklahoma was that he released the top three, right? LSU, OU, Georgia. And it doesn't look like it's going to be Georgia for Bo Bentley right now. I think we can pretty safely conclude he's going to be a Tiger or he's going to be a Sooner.
I guess expound on why not Georgia in your opinion.
Well, for one thing, you have the Jared Curtis situation waiting to resolve itself. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, just, and I touched base with a few sources down there in the state of Texas earlier today. There's not as much juice to Bo Bentley in Georgia as there is to Bo Bentley in OU and or Bo Bentley in LSU. Like those are the two schools. And I would fully expect that he winds up in one of those two uniforms. So here we go again between OU and LSU for a lifelong Sooner fan. Last time we had an instance like this, it was the Caden Durham recruitment.
Mm-hmm. Didn't end well for OU. But
it did not end well for OU, and it looks like Caden Durham's going to have a very nice career.
Yeah. But also need to be frank that some things went down.
Sure, yeah.
That caused that. Where OU would have taken, he would have been a Sooner, honestly. Like, that's where he was headed. But things happen. Can't ever really expound on that, but yeah, things happen. I guess I don't know. I look, talk to somebody today, and you know, instantly people are going to say, well, they obviously don't want Jaden O'Neal. That's not true. You heard it. They want Jaden O'Neal. Don't be shocked if Jaden O'Neal doesn't end up on campus this week at OU for a visit, but also don't be shocked if he doesn't end up visiting some other places following that. And this is just a player that's saving his own butt. You're not going to have two guys in one class. Just reality. I'm also wondering, is Bo Bentley going to commit to OU if Jaden O'Neal stays committed to Oklahoma? I think that's the other thing.
I think Oklahoma has set themselves up well in OV season, set themselves up ideally with the two quarterbacks with regard to their specific individual situations, right? Jaden O'Neal is committed. You want him in town for the champion barbecue. You want him to get around your other top targets. You want him to be front and center in your biggest OV weekend of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then for Bo Bentley, a guy who's uncommitted, a guy that's, you know, gonna need reasons, especially because you have another quarterback committed right now, you're going to have to give him some. The best way to do that is to show him that he's a priority for the entire staff. And a really good way to do that is limit the official visitors that are coming in alongside him and make sure that you can spend a ton of time and a ton of energy and a ton of focus on giving him the best red carpet experience possible. So look, I still don't think Oklahoma gets both of these guys.
Yeah.
I don't think that happens. I think it is a next to 0% chance that Jaden O'Neal and Bo Bentley both sign with Oklahoma. But I guess now we wait till OV season to see how it shakes out, because we know at the very least that the field has been thinned for Bo Bentley, and that threefold crop of official visits in the month of June is going to be deterministic.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it kind of feels like, you know, we were talking last week about how, well, maybe if Bo Bentley is off the board by late April, early May, then you have a closer vantage point to clarity from where we sit right now.
Yeah.
At this point, strap in for at least another 2, maybe 3 months of the holding pattern with all of it.
Yeah. I agree with you. I don't think both end up in OU's class. I think one or the other, but you don't want to end up empty handed. I think that's, You got to play this thing right if you're Oklahoma. And if you make just small error in the wrong direction, you could end up with neither. And that would be a horrible black eye to start the career, Norman. So you don't want that to happen. There's just a lot that goes into all this. I think Oklahoma's in a good spot for obviously Bo Bentley, because naturally John Mateer, and apparently their families know each other very well. Mateer's family and the Bentley family know each other really well, from what I'm being told. So, and it makes sense, obviously, where Mateer's
from. Delina and Little L.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, literally 15 minutes away from each other. So they've trained together before. There's a lot of connections there. So we'll see how it all plays out. Do you think Oklahoma gets a commitment before the end of April?
Yes. Yes. And in fact, I think they are getting close with one of the visitors they had on campus over the weekend.
Schmidt.
And that is Noah Best.
Oh, okay.
I'll acknowledge it feels like they've been close with Best for a long time, right?
Yes.
If that's kind of the ones you've just been waiting, you know, feel like it could drop at any time and you wouldn't be surprised, right? But I love where Oklahoma stands in the Noah Best recruitment coming out of the weekend. I really like where they stand with Deacon Schmidt as well. You know, that was a kind of a spur of the moment trip. There wasn't a whole lot of planning ahead that went into that, but he comes down, shows up to the scrimmage on Saturday, hangs out with Bill Beedenbow and Brent Venables. And yeah, I definitely feel in the Deacon Schmidt recruitment as though Oklahoma is going to go into OV season with the edge there. I do not think anything is immediately imminent, but I would give Oklahoma the clear advantage going into OV season at this point. Now, what was really, really interesting, Brandon, is that Desmond Green was on campus for multiple days. And Desmond Green, if that's not a name you're familiar with yet, we've talked about him a little bit on OUinsider.com. Get familiar with him. He's the number one prospect in the state of South Carolina. Top 10 interior offensive lineman in the nation in the 2026 cycle. And he just finished a multi-day unofficial visit to Oklahoma. He was here Thursday through Saturday. And the Sooners, from the sounds of things, you know, they're very much aware that it's going to be tough to pull him out of the Southeast with some of the other involved parties like Clemson and like Georgia, you know, Florida State, the usual suspects for a kid from that region. But they gave themselves a chance with this visit. They gave themselves a chance. He's going to be back for an official visit June 6th through 8th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're in a really good spot. surprisingly, when I was told he was on campus, I ended up reporting on OU Insider VIP. I was almost floored, because I had to like ask the source that told me and check and go, same guy? Really? Like from South Carolina? And they're like, yeah. Offensive lineman from South Carolina. I was like, okay. Was this a courtesy visit? And they said, no. Him and his family drove all the way halfway across the country on their own dime to visit Oklahoma. And
by the way, for those curious, it is 1,140 miles from St. Stephen, South Carolina to Norman, Oklahoma.
They were in Georgia. They were at the University of Georgia a few days before that, by the way. And so this was planned. And Oklahoma hit a home run, grand slam almost, as far as like setting themselves up for another visit. Now, it's going to be tough to pull them away from Georgia or South Carolina or Clemson, what have you. I asked the source that. I was like, you think you can get them away from those three? And again, they said, you know, when it comes to players like that, you generally think probably not. But since they drove themselves, there is some buy-in, and this isn't the first time that they've done that. So this is, there is some big time buy-in with Desmond Green and his family with Oklahoma. That's one of those that you like kind of file away and you're like, okay, you're not real sure, but you're not writing it off because there is an official visit and Oklahoma has set themselves up to at least be not just a player, but to be a major player in this come decision time. This is one of the more shocking things. I think Parker, when I texted you that, you were like, excuse me, what? Like he did what? I was the same way with the source. So I just,
yeah. Okay. Kid showing up via a plane flight. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
Kid driving halfway across the country for an unofficial visit. Yeah. That's significant.
Yeah. You have interest. Like you really, really have interest at that point. So I think that's something OU fans need to at least watch. And if they can somehow pull that off, look, you get Noah Best, Desmond Green, Toa Katoa, right? Who else would you throw in that batch, Parker?
Yeah, I'm not.
It's really difficult.
I haven't been super optimistic in their chances with Katoa. He's going to.
I'm just throwing names out.
Yeah, he's
just throwing names out.
I think that one comes down to SMU and Texas. But, you know, if I had to pick it right now, that interior offensive line class, you've got one commit in Will Conroy. I feel like you can pretty safely project Noah Best into the class. And then, shoot, man. I get like.
It's tough.
Yeah, I mean, he got as good a shot with Desmond Green as any of the other guys on the board, I feel like. A tackle, you know, that's almost a little bit easier at this point because, well, Drew Evers, there's another guy that. Certainly projects better to guard at the next level that Oklahoma is heavily involved with.
But can you beat out A&M?
That's going to be tough. Mama's an A&M alum, as we know. So tackling, it's funny. I was texting with one of our compatriots in the Rivals Network earlier today and remarking that Bill Beedenbow is after a bunch of premium crackers in the 2026 class because – you know, Will Conroy already on board, Noah Best, and the two other guys that they're in really, really good shape with, Deacon Schmidt out of Windsor, Colorado, and Gene Reardon out of Hinsdale, Illinois, both of them of the Caucasian persuasion.
There you go. I was waiting for you to throw that out there for those that weren't following the cracker part. Uh-huh. So, all right. Yeah. I mean, maybe that fits. I just, in the SEC, I don't, not to be that guy.
They're all really good players.
They are really
good
players. They are very, very good players. But having a, people want to, I guess, crap on an all-white offensive line at times. But you got to remember, Michigan has done it for a long time. And naturally, they haven't at the same time recently, but back in the day. And then Wisconsin has been just always, it feels like they have just a bunch of corn-fed white dudes that play offensive line for them, and they've been really good at it.
Here's another one at that guard spot that I always, always forget about. It's so easy for me to look past this kid, and he's the one that's, I think, geographically closest to Norman. Max Robinson up in Derby, Kansas. Oklahoma's in the top six.
He likes OU a lot.
He's going to OV. He has liked OU a lot for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. He's so smart, man. I just remember watching him at the camp and coaching a kid up. Every time he came back, multiple kids, actually, he would just start coaching them. Like, hey, this is what I saw. This is what I saw. And I watched Beedenbow just sit there and agree with him. And I was like, That's pretty impressive.
Well, and here's the thing about Max Robinson is he is a three-star, but
three-star you.
What really intrigues me about that kid is like, if there is there's legit potential down the line for that kid to be one of the guys that is all the rage amongst broadcast crews and reporters at the NFL Combine, because he's like 6'3 right now, but as I understand it, his dad is like 6'8, 6'9. His growth plates are still open. So yeah, you know, he's a guard right now and a really good one. But like, what if that kid spurts? What if he spurts to like 6'6, 6'7 and winds up being a tackle?
Do you almost take that chance just because you can?
Yeah, shoot, I would, man. Mm-hmm. Because again, if all he winds up being is a 6'3 guard, he is a really dang good 6'3 guard.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we watched him play tackle at camp. We watched mm-hmm. him line up at tackle against some really, really talented edge rushers. Marcus Fakatou was one of them. Yep. And he held his own. He held his own. If you can do that at tackle, obviously you can do that at guard.
Yeah. No, he would be a fantastic kid. Like, Beanbo has choices. He's got some really good ones in this class. I think that the offensive line and defensive line classes are going to be really good. Again, the interesting part is going to be linebacker. I think we feel like we understand every position but linebacker right now. Isn't that weird, though? Brent Venables. And for two straight classes, you're trying to figure out what is going on at linebacker. And I think that has a lot to do with the attrition at linebacker coach for them. There hasn't been a lot of stability there. You're hoping that Nate Dreiling becomes a guy. And he, like, I don't think OU ends up with Talanoa Ely, but I'm not going to say they won't, because he's taking an official visit, but he's also taking an official visit to like 7 different places.
Yeah.
So
you don't bank on that.
No, but he's visited Oregon and OU more than everybody else, almost.
Uh-huh.
Outside of USC. Like, those have been the three places he's been to the most. And I don't think anybody really, you and I both, we were talking about how we didn't realize how many times he had been to OU.
Mm-hmm.
Like 4 times, and I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So they got a chance.
You got some great options at linebacker.
I mean,
Adam Bologunali, the kid mm-hmm. with Oklahoma ties. Quebec from Carthage,
Ja'Cory
Texas.
Smith.
Yeah, Ja'Cory Smith, Keenan Harris from St. Louis, Bo yep. Jandro, Braxton Lindsey.
I think you end up Lindsey. Yeah. If I had to pick, it'd be Lindsey, Ja'Cory Smith, and then probably Jandro would probably be him and his brother, I think, will end up being at OU. That's just my guess right now. Like, I'm just guessing. Just off of what I know, it feels like those three like OU more than everybody else. Am I off?
You are not off.
Yeah.
I would project the Jandro Bros and Braxton Lindsey into OU's class right now.
Yeah. Ja'Cory. I think Ja'Cory ends up too.
Really?
He likes OU a lot.
I've never felt as great about that one.
I don't know. Maybe I'm buying too much into him being best friends with Amarion Robinson. I don't know. That, to me, and he always brings it up whenever he and I talk, just how close they are. But if it's not, okay, who would you project Ja'Cory to go to? Arkansas? Stay in state?
Yeah, I know Nebraska really likes him.
Nebraska, yeah.
Yeah. I just that one to me has always felt wide open, you know.
Yeah, but like
you know, going into OV season, Oklahoma's got as good of a shot as anybody,
mm-hmm.
no doubt. But I've never felt like there's reason for confidence, optimism, sure, confidence, probably not, that OU winds up with Ja'Cory Smith, in my mind at least.
Yeah, Braxton Lindsey is somebody that OU fans need to watch. Like, that dude is phenomenal, and he is so
big.
Like, I was shocked how big he was in person. Like, I've seen him in person Sooner 7 a couple times. I underestimated his game a little bit when it comes to size. Like, he has grown. He is a large human being.
And he is yoked too.
Yes.
He is muscled up. That is a dude that is ready to step into a collegiate linebacker room year one and do a little something.
Speaking of yoked up, when fans see James Nesta in person this year.
Yes. Okay. Buy some James Nesta stock.
Yes. Yes. That, you and I were talking about when we were standing there watching the line, we're like, what in the world? That is a, he has transformed his body phenomenally for a baseball player too. At the same time, he's done such a good job. I don't know how that's hindered or helped his baseball. I'm assuming it's probably not been the best benefit to him pitching to be that yoked up. But he looks great at linebacker, Parker. Great. He's going to play.
I'm starting to see the vision.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to see what everybody was talking about in the fall when we were hearing from the inside. James Nesta, James Nesta, James Nesta.
Mm-hmm.
Not right now, but give it a year. Well,
here it is.
By August, it will have been a year.
Yeah. All right, well, we got some good scrimmage notes coming on OU Insider. They should be up. We're recording this on a Sunday night. They should be up at least Monday morning. I will finish working on Thursday scrimmage notes. I got Saturdays up. Just so happened that we got both. All of it just kind of came to us on Saturday. Just tons of information. So we split it up. But going to have that for you guys. Parker has some recruiting information. I got recruiting information coming up this next week. There is a lot going on OUInsider.com. Spring ball, softball, baseball, basketball transfer portal. And let me tell y'all something. Brody Lusk has got that thing locked down. If you think Oklahoma isn't going to pay NIL, it sounds like you are mistaken, because we were mistaken. We did not think it was going to happen. And then you start hearing things. There could be some shock. Like, Oklahoma looks like they may be buying into basketball, but we'll see. You still have to close. It doesn't matter how much you pay. You still have to, the relationships still matter. We'll see if Moser can close it out. If he can't, could be another okay year next year with what they have coming back and what they get in the portal. But it sounds like things are moving in a good direction. If you want to know who with, and they are some of the top targets in the portal, by the way, go to OU Insider VIP. Brody Lusk has a whole thread up there right now with multiple updates for you guys, basketball transfer portal. Obviously, the women are also dealing with that. They got Aaliyah Chavez just now. She's in the McDonald's All-American game this weekend or this week. They've been scrimmaging. They've been doing a lot of things. There's a game. You could watch that as well. Huge get for the women's basketball who just lost in the Sweet 16. Go to OU Insider. We've got you covered with all that baseball, basketball, softball, recruiting, football recruiting, team notes, all of that right there. Plus, you get to go with the community. It is amazing. Thousands and thousands of OU fans already on there. You start your own thread. You ask us questions. We answer it. Parker and I are at your leisure. We are there to answer your questions, insider stuff you want to know. Boom, you ask it on the message board. We're there for you. And then everybody else talks about it. It's great conversation. It's fun. If you want to, you sign up right now, $9.95 a month, $9.95 for the whole year. Or if you are a college student with a .edu, you have to email us from .edu. If you are an active duty military, from your active duty military, email us, OUInsider@rivals.com. We will send you a promo code for OU Insider for 1 year for $11.95. That's less than a dollar a month. We will send you a promo code. You get to join in and get it at 88% off. That's an amazing deal. So make sure you email us, OUInsider@rivals.com, from your .edu or your active duty military account. Doesn't matter what college you go to. Doesn't matter what military branch you're in. We're pro-military. His wife's in the military. I'm a vet. We love it. So go to OU Insider, OUInsider@rivals.com. Email us from those emails. We will get you back with the promo code for $11.95 for the whole year to join and follow all your Sooners content at that. So, all right. For Parker Thune, my name is Brandon Drum. We want to thank, obviously, Riverwind Casino for being our title sponsor. Hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. You guys have a blessed day.